It is absolutely amazing what y'all are doing and what God has given us to do and how it is absolutely unfolding right before our eyes. And we're going to talk more about that today and next week. First things first, I want to welcome everybody. Welcome everybody in North County and East County watching online in our microsites around San Diego. God bless you. A couple quick announcements before we get started. How many of y'all speak Spanish? Very good. Well, this Thursday at Cornerstone Church in National City, I'm going to be sharing my testimony in Spanish. So if you want to come down and check it out, amen, amen. If you don't speak Spanish, you can come and not know what anybody's saying, because I'm not going to know what they're saying either, but I just know what I'm going to say. So it's going to be fun. The other thing is that you heard on there that we're looking to do a church campus south of the 94. We have a potential location at the Mater Dei School in Chula Vista, and we are going to have an event December 19th. We'll give you more information as it gets closer. It has 500 seats. It's a beautiful campus. It's practically brand new, and we're going to see how much interest we have. So if you're from down there, we're going to invite you down. We want to see how much interest we have and see if we should move forward. So our third location is already potentially there. Amen? Before we get started, if you could take out this brochure that you have in your hand. I'm just going to talk a few minutes about this before we get into the message today. And you could just open it up, look up here just for 1 second. A year and a half ago, we started a campaign called the Pervasive Hope Campaign. Everyone say Pervasive Hope. Pervasive Hope is the fulfillment of Acts 1:8. The Bible says we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, Jesus said. Basically, that means everywhere. And so we had a campaign. I'm going to show you a slide here in a minute. Actually, we can put it up right now. Well, our goal was to raise $30 million for all these initiatives that we're going to talk about. We received $20 million in commitments or pledges, and to date, we received $10 million of cash. Now, it's one thing to have a pledge. It's another thing to have a goal, but it's really the thing to have the cash. And so what we want to do over the next couple of weeks is, one, encourage all the people who have pledged to give. Out of the $20 million that were pledged, there's only about $5 million given of what was pledged. A lot of people gave who weren't even part of the campaign, and we thank you. That's why we have $10 million. So I want to encourage the people who pledge and haven't given to give so we can reach our goal. And also, we want to give you an opportunity, if you haven't pledged, to be part of the campaign so we can fund the things we're going to read about here in a minute. Again, our goal was $30 million. We only received $10 million in pledges, so we want to get more pledges to reach up to the $30 million so we can accomplish all the things God has given us. So let's read through this. If you can open up this brochure, and right there in the flap, it'll say, in April 2012. Does everybody see that? If you see that, say yes.
Yes.
We are going to read that out loud together. Amen? On three. One, two, three. In April 2012, Rock Church launched the three-year, $30 million Pervasive Hope Campaign. Its purpose is to empower us, the church, to reach every street, every person with the love of Jesus. For every way that a person can be lost, we want to provide a way for them to be found. Very simple. Let me read the rest for you. Right underneath it, it says, in year one of the campaign, the generosity of the Rock Church has provided, one, the Rock Church North County was relaunched. It's averaging over 1,000 people every week. What's up, Rock North County? I can hear them cheering up there. We also launched Rock East County. What's up, Rock East County? They're over there cheering right now. They opened with over 3,100 people the first day. They averaged over 2,700 people. Both campuses have 5 services. Okay, so it's 15 services that go on right now. Through the first year and a half of the campaign, we paid down our debt here, and we're saving over $1 million in our mortgage payments. We should have no debt. Okay, we should have no mortgage, I should say. And then numerous other outreaches. We've included Petco Park. We had our Good Friday service. Look at the black flap. It says, in the coming months and years, throughout your ongoing generosity, the Pervasive Hope Campaign will provide multi-site development. This is taking Sunday services into bars, restaurants, convalescent homes, homes and schools, and strip clubs. Now, if you didn't know, we are taking a screen, a couple of speakers, a couple of people, an iPad or a phone, and pumping the services live into those places now. On Easter last year, we were in a bar, two services, and someone got saved in each one of those services. A couple months ago, we were 12 hours away from having a service in a strip club. We have a ministry where women only go in strip clubs, and we are equipping them with equipment. The bar manager and the owner agreed to have it. I have no idea how that was going to work out. And whatever. And right 12 hours of Saturday night, they got cold feet and shut it down. But we're still pursuing that. It's going to be awesome. Literally, the girls are going to stop dancing. Everyone's going to sit down and watch church. Yeah. So we're going to pray that kicks off eventually. And someone said, what are you going to say if someone says you're in a strip club? I'm going to say, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, it's great. I think it's fantastic. And then, of course, the room will be out that I was physically there preaching. That'll be the next room, but whatever. Okay. 24 online church. And by the way, that'll never happen. 24 online church where 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have taped, recorded, and live programming online. We're going to put our services all throughout the week and have live people monitoring those services. So Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Thursday afternoon, is somebody there responding to people watching the services on TV and online, and children's ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, live events online throughout the week. Operation Jeremy, which is the orphanage in Haiti, and there's also a church building on that property with 700 seats. Can you imagine a rock church, Haiti, with 700 seats church? Local outreaches, including Rock Your City, Toys for Joy, Awana, Good Friday at Petco. We're going to do that again. Opening our next campus. Hopefully that'll be the one at Modern Day School. It depends on how many people show interest on December 19th and how much money comes in to launch that campus. But we feel there's going to be a lot of interest. If you could turn the flap over to the back. Next week, we are going to receive from you who choose to do it pledges, financial pledges towards our Pervasive Hope campaign. This is money over and above tithe. Your tithe pays the bills of the ongoing operations. These are expansion projects that we just talked about. And I want you to pray about, what does God want you to do? Everybody say, it's all about what God wants me to do. It's always about what God wants you to do. It's not about what I want. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants. And so next week, if you want to make a one-time gift, you want to make a pledge through 2015, I want you to pray about it this week, and then we'll collect your pledge next week. And if you want to make your gift, financial gift next week, that's fine too. We've collected $10 million. We would love to get to $30 million. So halfway will be $15 million by the end of this year, which is the big picture goal. God is going to do what he's going to do. All you have to do is be obedient. So I would like you to take this home, pray about this, pray about what God would have you do, read through this, and then next week we'll receive that from you. Amen? Amen. Let's get your Bibles out. Let's get your Bibles out. Let's see your Bibles. Let's say word. Word. One more time, Point Loma, East County, North County, online. Say word. Word. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Are y'all happy today? Very good. If you are not, the choir is the bomb. We need two choirs so we can have them more often. We need another choir. How many of y'all want to be in a choir? Raise your hand. Well, let's go. Let's go. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. Every single night when you put your head on your pillow, somebody says in the spiritual world, well done, good and faithful servant. Either God says, well done, good and faithful servant, or the devil. God says, well done, good and faithful servant, if you were faithful that day, you did what he said, your heart was right, and even if you messed up, you repented, you said, Lord, I'm sorry. And God feels that you allowed him to lead and guide you and direct you, inspire you, speak through you, use you. God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. The devil's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, if you are really good at obeying him. He might say, well done, I saw you at church at the Rock with your hands up, but I know you didn't mean that. You got him fooled. Well done. The devil's going to say, well done, if you're at work smiling in someone's face, yet talking behind their back. So you have to decide, which ones are going to be today and then tomorrow and then the next day. And then when you die, that God would say, well done, good and faithful servant, for your life. Or the devil's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, for your life. In this parable we're going to read is where this phrase comes from, is when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant, to his faithful servants. I want to read this parable. Now, whenever you read a parable, parables are stories that Jesus takes from everyday life, and he teaches a very simple spiritual lesson from the story. One very powerful, simple lesson from the whole story. And in this story we're going to read, it's about two servants. They both, actually two kinds of servants. One kind is a kind that's faithful and another kind that's not faithful. And they're all going to receive talents or money, and the money represents resources, not necessarily only cash. And they're going to be judged by how faithful they manage what God gave them. And in this story, the whole point is, the whole lesson that Jesus is trying to teach, is that when you die, God is going to require a very high return on investment in your life. If you're a business person, it's ROI. You know that term. It's not a term man made up. Business comes from God. God is a businessman. God is also a politician. He's a king. He's also a judge. He's also a savior. He's also a friend. We can go on and on to the break of dawn. He's got like a 2,000 names. But one of them is that he's a businessman. And he has invested in your life. And when you die, he's going to require something from you. He's going to require 100% return. Now you may say, well, that's how you get 100% return. Let God be your investor. If you try to do it yourself, you're not going to get 100% return. He doesn't want you to do it by yourself. You're not required to do it by yourself. You're required to trust him. Okay, so let's read the story. Oh, by the way, before we get to the story, when we talk about talents, we're not only talking about cash, dinero, we're talking about your life. All the valuables that make up who you are, your personality, your gifts, your interests, your passions, your dreams, all of that is your talent. The opportunity you have to know God personally, your heart, all your talent. Okay, let's read. Chapter 25, verse 14. It says, Matthew 25, verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1 talent, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Everyone say, his own ability. God's not going to give you what he gave that person. He's not going to give you what he gave that person. None of you are going to have the same exactly ability or talent. Just appreciate what you have and appreciate that God gave you what he thinks you could handle today. And if you want mo, be faithful with what you got. Honey, what is mo? More. Verse 16. He who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5. 100% return, or he doubled his money. Likewise, he would receive the 2, gain 2 more. Also, he doubled his money, 100% return. But he who had received the 1 dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts. God is going to settle his account with you. God is going to settle his account with you. Okay? Verse 20. So he who had received the 5 came and brought another 5, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5. Look, I made another 5 beside them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You will never experience the joy of the Lord unless you walk by faith and obedience to the Lord. Now, you can have the joy of Nordstrom. You can have the joy of relationships, and you can have the joy of, you know, money, but you're not going to have the joy of the Lord, which is superior to all the other joy, because man can't touch it, okay? But you're not going to have the joy of the Lord without walking by faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. Okay, look at verse 22. It says, he who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2. Look, I gained 2 more beside them. The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He who received the 1 talent said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there is what you have is yours. His Lord said, "You wicked and lazy servant." Everybody say wicked. Wicked. Say lazy. "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You knew that I expected a harvest from your life. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back at least 2-3% interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have the faith to invest what I've given him, even what he has will be taken. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Three servants. One he gave 5 talents, one he gave two, and one he gave one. The amount of talents he gave them doesn't have and has nothing to do with how much he values the servants. It has to do with their ability to manage. And God has given every single one of you talents. He's given you a personality. Whether you think you have a big personality or not, you have a personality. It may be muy poquito. It may be a blah personality, but you still have one. I don't know if y'all watch golf, but there's a guy named Jason Duffner who's a very good golfer. If you don't know him, he like never smiles. He's like this the whole time. I mean, like when he smiles, they make a big deal about it. He's just like. And he doesn't have no personality. He just has a chill personality. God has given you ability with math, the ability to read, the ability to listen to people's problems. He's given you a talent to encourage people. He's given you resources, money resources, connections, experience, knowledge. He's given you an opportunity to know him on a personal level. He's given all that to you. And he says, "I want you to invest that in my kingdom. I didn't give it to you for you. I didn't give it to you to get the honeys chasing you. I didn't give it to you to be a player. I gave it to you for me. And I'm going to come back and hold you accountable for what you did with it. And guess what I'm going to expect? 100% return." Like, where can I get 100% return? God. How many of y'all would love to get 100% return? Okay. Just for y'all who are mathematically challenged, that means you want to double what you have. Okay, 100%, what is that? How to carry the 3? What does that mean? It means that you, whatever you have, you want to double. God says, I'm going to give you these talents for my purpose. I want you to invest it in my kingdom. Does that mean the Rock Church only? Absolutely not. It means, God, what do you want to do with my life? Show me what my talents are. When I was playing with the Chargers, they would say, before I got saved, I should say, they would say, "We want you to go out and talk to this junior high, this elementary school." I said, "Look, I take pictures. I'll sign an autograph. I don't talk. I'm not a public speaker. That's not what I do." When I got saved, God says, "You had no idea that all your life that there was true value to your big mouth." There was eternal value. I had planned for that since you were little. Talking. I had purpose for that. Do you know that God has eternal purpose for you? And the devil will constantly tell you are garbage, that you're no good, that you're a waste, you're just a wasted product, that you were a mistake. Yeah, let me tell you something. The reason you are incredibly marvelous. Everybody say, "I am marvelous." You are not marvelous because of your hair. You are not marvelous because of your Afro Sheen or your hair gel, your new teeth. Oh, they didn't even make Afro Sheen anymore. That's going way back. Don't wear afros. You are not marvelous because of that. You are marvelous because God said so. And that's all that matters. God doesn't make junk. He says, "I've given you talent, and I've given you the ability to manage that talent and steward that talent. I've given you the opportunities to invest that talent, and I want you to invest it in my kingdom." What does that mean? Is that I want you to let me have your life. And I want you to let me guide and direct you so I can tell you what to do, how to live, who to live with, what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and let me invest your life, and your life will become a blessing to other people's lives. Look what it says. Look what it says. In verse 16, it says, he who had received the 5 talents went and traded and made another 5. He who received the 2 talents went and traded. In verse 18, he who received the 1 talent dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And the Bible calls him a wicked and lazy servant. Number one, are you investing your talent in God's hands? Are you saying to God, God, whatever you have given me and whatever you have made me, the opportunities, my brain, my heart, my body, it all belongs to you. And I want you to use it however you see fit so you can increase the rate of return to back to you through my life. Or are you a wicked, lazy servant that says this is all about me. And I'm going to keep everything about my life to myself. And I'm going to live to please myself. I'm going to use my time for you, myself, my talents for myself, my resources for myself, my friends for myself. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to take God's talent and bury it in the ground because I'm only going to use it for myself. And I'm not going to surrender to him. The Bible calls that a wicked, lazy servant. Now, you may get your little Mercedes, You may get your little girlfriend, your little boyfriend, or your multiple girlfriends, or your multiple boyfriends. You may have your party, you may have your wealth, but you will not have the joy of the Lord. And when you stand before God, God's going to say to you, now, I saw you at the Rock Church in November 2013. Matter of fact, I saw you the whole year kind of going on and off for 5 years. And you did nothing. I don't get that. Because I know the pastor. I made him. I gave him that big mount. Matter of fact, I raised him in New York for a reason. And I know what he said to you. I want to know, why'd you take all that and bury it in the ground? There's some people walk around, you ever go to work with someone or see someone here and they see you at church or they hear you're a Christian and they say to you, you're a Christian? You were hiding it in the ground. You mean you're an encourager? You were hiding in the ground because all you do is gossip. You mean you're a giver? You were hiding in the ground because you don't give. You're a teacher? You were hiding in the ground because you don't teach. And you're saying, Lord, I took everything you gave me, all the talents you gave me, and I hid it in the ground. And when you came back, here it is. God says, I didn't give it to you to give it back to me. I could have just not gave it to you in the first place. I gave it to you to invest because I gave you that one little seed. And when I came back, I expected to see a whole orchard of fruit out of your life because I made you that way. I created you with a seed, not only a physical seed to reproduce people. I created you with a spiritual seed. And when you invest your life into my kingdom, I expect to see big return. People ask me, well, you got all those people at your church. Why are you always trying to get more? I'm going to tell you why right there. Amen. Because it would be satanically selfish. Satanically selfish to say, we're good. We're good. We're not going to try to help anybody else. We helped enough people. We got enough people. We're going to cruise. That would be satanically. Why did I say satanically selfish? Selfish? Because when Jesus was going to die, he told his disciples, I'm going to get arrested and beaten and crucified. And Peter said, no, Lord, may it not be so. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have the thing in mind the things of God, but the things of man. In other words, you're thinking like a person of the world and not a person of God. Jesus said, I have to suffer. It's part of my plan that many people would be saved. God forbid for us to kick back and say, Lord, we got ours. Forget everybody else. And God says, to whom much is given, much is required. What has God given you? And are you going to stand before him and say, Lord, I lived on the edge for you, or I buried it in the ground. I gave it all for you. The Bible says, look what it says in verse 27. He says, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. When he said with the bankers, he was saying, you could have done the minimum and just put it in the bank. I mean, wouldn't it be dumb to get a paycheck and put it in your mattress? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you do that, because I know someone's going to do that, because you think the bank's going to crash, and you've been waiting. You're still thinking Y2K is going to happen, that the computers are going to crash, you got cash. I ain't hating on you, because it's good to have cash in your house, but that would be not wise to put all your money in your mattress. You could at least put it in the bank, and you would have got at least a free dinner card. You might not get any interest, but you got a free dinner card. At least you could have gone to a community group. At least you could bring a Bible to church. Don't raise your hand. Look at the person next to you and say, don't raise your hand. Okay, did I give you forewarning? Yes or no? How many of you didn't even bring a Bible? How many of you don't even bring a Bible to church? Don't raise your hand. I mean, you can if you want. I'm just trying not to call you out. Oh, yeah, I don't need a Bible. I don't need to read the Word of God. I'll just get it. I don't need to go to a small group. This is enough for me. I don't need to pray on my own. I don't need to fast. I don't need to give. I don't need to serve. I'm good. Really? Jesus says you're not. Because those are the things he told us, commanded us to do, in order to grow, to be what he wants us to do. He says, the least you could do is with the bankers, but really what I really want you to do is I want you to invest. And investing requires faith. 100% return requires faith. And all you know who invest your money, who start a business, who start a career, you have to take a step of faith, or in the world, a risk. God says, I want your heart, and I want you to give it all to me, and I want you to trust me. I don't know, God. Yep, that's what God wants. He wants more than your things. He wants your heart. And if he can get your heart, everything else will follow. God has called us and given us an opportunity to make a serious impact for the kingdom of God in San Diego and around the world. Primarily right here. He's given us the opportunity in Haiti to impact countless kids. That food kitchen that we're going to get, 1,000 meals a day. Those kids don't eat. A lot of those kids don't eat at all. We can feed a whole community 1,000 meals a day. That thing will make. And not only when we get the kitchen, we have a nonprofit that is going to donate the food. Amen. So God is saying, you can get this school and this orphanage and this church, and we're going to give you the food. Are people going to come there to get food? Ha ha, you think? And then we're going to give them spiritual food. Yeah, we got to take a little step of faith. We got to put a little money out. We got this place down in the south, a little church. We got to put some money out. How do we get North County? We took a step of faith. How do we get East County? Took a step of faith. How do we get this building? Took a step of faith. How are we going to keep going? Take a step of faith. Well, why you got to keep going? Because the Word says. God's going, what you going to do with all that? You got billions of dollars in this church. It's just in y'all's pockets. There's doctors in this church, lawyers, counselors, teachers, and there's people who are sick and need counsel in this church. There are people who are homeless and there's clothes in closets you haven't worn for years. Imagine you could put all that together, all of a sudden you got help. That's what we're talking about. So here's my challenge to you. I want you to go home and I want you to take that brochure and I want you to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Let me be crystal clear. Don't ever do anything here because I asked you. I don't want anyone to come to me and say, well, you asked me to do this, I'm doing it for you. You don't do it for me. You do it for God. Because I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for God. Now, if we all do it for God, we're good. But once we start doing it for each other, now you owe me. I owe you. No, no, no. The only thing I owe you is to love you. And the only thing you owe me is to love me. What does that mean? Help me obey God. I help you obey God. That's love. But we all owe God to obey him. Amen. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray, Lord, I don't want to bury my talent in the ground. There are some of you out there, you got real estate. We can put a church in. You got a building sitting empty. We can put a church in it right now. You got stuff, opportunities. God's saying, what are you going to do? God, show me. Give me. Do you know who the master of creativity is? God. He created the world. The brother got skills. He created you. Have you ever seen a person that looks exactly like you? The answer would be no. I was at my eye doctor the other day. Whenever I go to a doctor's, I always want to, learn what they're doing to me. You know, if they look at my nose, I want to look in their nose. If they look at my eye, I want to look in their eye. Like, I'm paying you, so I should be able to do what I want. If I'm paying you, you're not paying me. That's how I think. And my doctors are all cool. They're like, okay, let me look in the eye, and they show you what you're looking for. And I'm for reals. And do you know that both your eyes are different? They have different vein pattern. They have different, they're individually identifiable. They're not the same. Not only are they not the same from my eyes, they're not the same from each other. God is unbelievably creative. Ask God to show you. Lord, what do you want me? What do you want me to volunteer? What ministry do you want me to serve in? How do you want me to serve? Lord, what do you want me to commit to the Pervasive Hope campaign? And Lord, whatever you tell me, I'm going to obey by faith. So by faith, I receive your direction. Don't figure it out. Receive from God. And next week, we're going to have a time during our service. We're going to take your pledge, and then we're going to be off to the races. My challenge to you is, Lord, you give me direction. I'll tell you this last story, then I'm going to pray for the offering and all the campuses, and then we'll be dismissed. I was driving from a meeting with the mayor of El Cajon and a bunch of politicians and churches, community leaders, I should say, and pastors, about reaching everybody in El Cajon. And they're going to have, on January 1st, a prayer meeting on Mount Helix to pray for all of East County. I was driving from that meeting, and I see this guy walking down the street. Now, you have to understand, I would challenge you, when you drive home, when you're at work, ask God to open your eyes that he may show you what he sees. And I look for people. I look at people. This guy was walking down the street. He looked homeless, kind of. I mean, he just looked like he just homeless. And he was tormented. I mean, he like someone just did something to him just like 5 minutes ago. And he was mad. He was tormented. And I was like, I caught him. And I'm looking, he's going to do something right now. He's getting ready to explode. And he walked across the car. We turned to go onto the freeway. And as I look back, he picked up a rock. He just, like this, picked up a rock and just threw it against the sign. He was so mad. He said, I have to hit something. I have to hurt something right now. And my heart broke for that guy. I don't know if his mom just died. I don't know if it was a spiritual oppression or a torment. But he was tormented. God has sent us to help people. Don't live for you. Don't. You will never be satisfied. Say, God, I'm here for you. That's the reason you're on earth, for God. So, God, show me what you want me to do. Am I trying to get as much money as possible? I'm trying to get as much as your whole life as possible for God. Absolutely, because he wants all of you. Now, of course, not to empty your bank account, not to live at the church and work every day. No, Lord, whatever you want. Imagine if we just said that. Whatever you want, go to your house and look in your closet at all the clothes you wore twice. Or once, and it sits there. It sits there. And you complain about what you don't have. That's called filthy rich. Get rid of it. We got a thrift store. Get rid of it. Clean out. Say, Lord, you don't need 50 shoes. You don't. You just don't. I was talking to these women about the purse. The purse that never, it's for life. What's the purse it's called? No, it's not Coach. It's Louis Vuitton. Oh, you just buy one Louis Vuitton, and you know, it'll last you the whole life. So that means you should only need one purse for the rest of your life. Oh, no, I got to have other purse for this. I got to have a purse for this. I got to have a purse. Now, I know that, you know, you don't have to. You don't. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but you don't need it. Lord, what do you want? Forget what everybody else does. Lord, what do you want? God wants you to have five Louis Vuittons? Great. But make sure God told you that. Fellas, can I get an amen? Well, you got sweatsuits and you got your toys too. Hey, God, you want me to have these toys? Unfortunately, I'm not a toy guy, but you want me to have it? We're going to pray for our offering because we got to get y'all out of here. Y'all, you don't have to go home, but you just got to get up on out of here. let's pray right now in all the campuses. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the calling you put on our church. We thank you for the opportunity to bless our city. Lord, I pray people would let go. I pray people would let go. I pray we'd start now with the offering. I pray they would go sign up for a ministry. I pray they would go clean out that closet. I pray they would let go and make room for you to flow in their life. There are people here who have holding on to tithes that doesn't belong to them. It's God's money, and they're robbing him. I pray they let it go. There's people here who have stuff in their closet, in their house, that's doing them no good, and someone else could benefit. There's a single mom with three kids living in a car, and she's coming to church. Lord, we got to find her and help her. So bless the offering, but bless our life. May we put our heart in the offering. Thank you, God. Thank you. I pray for Point Loma, East County, North County. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. The offering boxes are at the exits. God bless you. See you next week.